Consumer prices show the smallest increase in 44 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, welcome to The Morning Open. I'm Bill Radke. This morning we learned consumer prices barely budged last month. And for a lot of products, they fell. Should we now be worried about deflation? That is just ahead. First, let's check in with the stock market. Where's Wall Street? Stocks dropped as soon as the bell rang, but they've come back up. So the Dow is up 4 points now at 10,515, and the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are up about 0.2%. Stocks are down sharply in Europe now and Asia earlier today. More nervousness about Europe's debt and some new financial rules coming in response to that debt crisis. But let's talk about that inflation report now. Economist Richard DeKayser is here from Woodley Park Research, joining us live from Washington. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So what they call core inflation, that's prices on consumer goods, not including food and energy, those prices just showed their smallest monthly increase since 1966. I am confused, Richard. Am I supposed to be scared of inflation or deflation?
Well, I would say you shouldn't be concerned about either. The most likely outcome, according not just to me, but broad market indicators, is that the most likely outcome is very, very low persistent inflation for the next couple of years. But there is a risk to deflation, and policymakers are extremely concerned about this. And the risk is, even though it's a very unlikely event, the consequences could be severe. And the reasons have to do with debt. Households and governments are carrying a lot of debt today. The burden of that debt has been mitigated by these rock-bottom interest rates. But in a deflation environment, the ability to pay, that is to say incomes, also decline. And hence, making payments on those debts becomes even harder and harder. So it's not a likely scenario, but it's a pretty scary one. And that's the reason I think policymakers are focused on it and likely to keep interest rates low to juice the economy and prevent that from happening.
And Richard, what about this attempt to prevent another Wall Street flash crash, that weird plunge that happened earlier this month? Regulators want to stop trading on stocks that swing 10% in 5 minutes. But what if some terrible news comes out about a stock I own and I want to bail out?
Well, you can still bail out, just not immediately. In other words, these circuit breakers are intended to delay things down. And I would add they are very controversial because even in the May 6th collapse we saw with the Dow off almost 1,000 points midday, there's some suggestion that similar kinds of instruments might have been possibly contributing rather than preventing those dynamics from playing out. So if you want to dump your stocks, you'll be able to do so. You might be subject to a pause, and the idea here is that that pause will help stabilize prices.
Richard DeKayser, Woodley Park Research, thanks.
My pleasure.
All that instability in Europe can teach us something about economics. European consumers don't have as much spending power now because of the euro slide. That can even affect U.S. relations with China. From Shanghai, reporter Bill Marcus explains.
A Chinese watch sold in Europe in December for $10 today cost $11.50. That's bad news for Chinese exporters, because if Chinese goods cost more in Europe, they won't sell. That will make it harder for China to boost its currency, something the U.S. wants. U.S. Commerce Secretary Gary Locke is in Shanghai today. He says the euro crisis is hanging over the entire world.
It cannot be ignored, and I think it perhaps means a greater urgency that the two countries talk about economic policy and that we talk about ways in which we can move forward on rebalancing our economies. So I think it's even better that we're meeting at this time.
Locke will join Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, and their Chinese counterparts in Beijing next week. The American delegation had hoped the summit would be the place where China announced it was revaluing its currency. Now, that seems less than likely. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at vanguard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
NIMBY means not in my backyard. Now there's NUMBY, not under my backyard. That's what Greenville, Ohio told the U.S. government when it wanted to bury global warming emissions underneath the town. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
That was priceless.
Well, what about they laugh about it now, but when Greenville residents heard about a federally funded carbon sequestration project,
we were scared.
That's Frankie Gilmore, a local mailman. Gilmore and many of his neighbors in rural Ohio had never heard of carbon sequestration. But in 2008, scientists from Battelle, a major R&D lab, came to call. They wanted to demonstrate that you could capture and bury CO2 emissions miles beneath the earth. The government is looking to apply the technology widely to CO2 from burning coal. But local newspaper editor Christina Chalmers says townspeople were grumbling from the get-go.
A lot of people did not even believe in global warming or the issue at hand, so they just thought it was a bunch of garbage.
Battelle held several public meetings, but townspeople were uncomfortable. It wasn't clear to them who was responsible if anything went wrong. There was a slight chance the CO2 injections could cause earthquakes. And what if the CO2 somehow leaked into the water supply? Battelle assured them quakes and leakage were an extremely low risk. But by 2009, a couple of internet-savvy grandmothers had started Citizens Against CO2 Sequestration. Co-founder Jan Tieford wrote their blog.
This is our home. You know, we live here. Those people don't live here. They're never going to live here. And we felt we had a right to protect it, and we should have a say in what goes on here.
The group wrote letters to the editor, knocked on doors. They even held a prayer rally and hundreds of lawn signs reading "No CO2 Waste in Dark County" peppered the town. On August 19th, Battelle scrapped the project, citing business considerations. In Greenville, Ohio, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And tomorrow, Sarah will look at the lessons Battelle learned from its failure in Greenville. And finally, in a new survey, British consumers have voted the iPhone the eighth most important invention of all time, more significant than the internal combustion engine. The number one invention in history, the survey said, is the wheel, which, unlike the iPhone, does not need to be constantly reinvented. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.